This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for joining us today. Today, my colleague Sierra is with me to talk about our incentives practice a little bit. Sierra runs our incentives practice from our Louisville office and has some insight as to what she is seeing in the marketplace right now. Thank you for joining us, Sierra.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me. Always excited to talk about Kentucky and Kentucky incentives. Would love to give the audience a brief overview of incentive programs in Kentucky and how they're based. A lot of people I find don't necessarily understand the fundamentals of incentives and how businesses can take advantage of them. I find it's a good place to start before we talk about how they've changed post-COVID-19 with those basic incentive programs. Most incentives in Kentucky have two basic formats. They're either investment-based or jobs-based. Our two most popular programs are the Kentucky Business Investment Initiative that we typically call KBI. We've referred to it as the KBI program, and it's based on receiving payroll wages, wage withholding back to the business in response for creating new jobs and investing in new jobs for the community. Our other common incentive is called the KIA program, and it's the Kentucky Enterprise Investment Act, and that focuses on businesses putting investment back into their facilities and allows them to get a rebate of sales tax on their construction materials that they purchase. Kentucky's a little bit behind because we now have sales tax on labor, and they haven't roped that into the program yet, so that's something that, you know, obviously we would like to see. If we're gonna charge sales tax on service in Kentucky, that we look at including that into our incentive programs.
So with that, is there a size of a job that you say on the investment?
Sure.
Is there a size of an investment that makes sense, or when do people actually start talking to you about these things?
Yeah, really, it's actually a fairly small threshold. And to make sense for a business, they really need to be looking at adding 10 new jobs over a course of 10 years. It starts to make a lot of benefit and generate a lot of benefit for the business at 20 new jobs. So if I can count on you as a business adding 20 new jobs over really a 3 to 5 year range, that's when you are going to get the most benefit from these incentive programs. If you're making an investment into your facility, you're looking at a minimum of $500,000. If you can get up to $1 million as your bucketed investment, then it really makes a lot of sense from a compliance and application standpoint to go through the trouble to get these rebates.
So with jobs, you're looking at 10 to 20 investment, anywhere 500 to a million to really start making sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think it's going to, you know, we're at a point in Kentucky's economy where things are really starting to take off post-COVID-19. Manufacturers are gearing up. They're responding to the market changes. And as businesses add new lines or they modify their manufacturing operations, this is where they should be looking at for benefit for these programs. So if you think about an e-commerce retailer that might be upgrading their facility and doing some packaging, maybe they're a pharmaceutical company that's adding some additional packaging and adding new product lines and new manufacturing and process lines, then that's when they should really look at these incentive programs.
Now, how much with Kentucky, what happens if, let's say, you helped me a year ago and I said I was going to bring 20 jobs and something happened with COVID? Is there a time frame that I can rehire to not lose some incentives that I got, or have they announced any of that, or is that still in flux?
They really haven't announced anything like that for the traditional incentive programs, but fortunately our incentive programs have a little bit more of a lag time than other states do. So in Kentucky, you go through two stages before you activate your incentive value. You're going to go through a preliminary approval stage, and then you're going to have a period where you can grow your business and get to this point of the first 10 employees, and then you activate. So if during that two-year window, something like COVID happened, there's really a grace period for you to be able to recover from that. Incentives are forward thinking, which is something else that businesses often forget to look at. We're not going to look at your past performance as a business. We're going to put these projections out there of what you're expected to hit. And Kentucky really honors that and wants to respect that businesses are making these projections and that they may not be correct or, you know, the perfect example or the perfect match for what you project and your actual performance is. So they give you some leeway to amend your incentive deal, to amend your numbers that you put forward, so that you're meeting your goals that you've agreed on with the cabinet.
Now, are most of the jobs related ones, is it related to the job and salary? Does it matter what the type of job is? So, for example, with everything going on right now, let's say I have a packaging plant and I was planning on hiring 50 people, but because of the changes with COVID, maybe I'm switching to a different type of manufacturing process or hiring people that might work in a sales range. Are there levels of what I have to do, or does it have to be, you said you were going to hire somebody to fill boxes. If you hire somebody that's not filling boxes, we're not going to allow it, or do they still allow that incentive?
They still allow it. It's important to note that Kentucky's incentives are designed to encourage the state of Kentucky to move towards a living wage. So they're going to incentivize jobs as they get closer to what's identified every year as the living wage. And they're community based on what the appropriate wage is for those, and that's a minimum threshold for it. So the city of Louisville, for example, really works to incentivize an $18 an hour median wage because they believe that's the point that the community can have a living wage and you can support a family and you can raise children in the community. And so they want to encourage well-paying jobs. But that's the, if you agree to that as your minimum threshold, the state's not going to penalize you for going above that and hiring workers that are more advanced or have additional training. But that's really where us and McGuire Sponsible as a consultant comes in, is that we walk you through that process to help you hit those and make that agreement as precise as possible when you work with the state, so that you're getting the most benefit from it. You can always hire someone that's going to make more money than you agreed on, but you're not going to receive that marginal benefit from their salary. And so we want to walk you through that as a consultant to make sure you're receiving that benefit.
So let's say, obviously, I'm listening to this podcast and I'm starting a operation in Kentucky. Obviously, you're going to walk me through some of that, but other than just walking me through it, why else do I need to bring in a consultant like you on those type of jobs?
Yeah. So the one thing that I think is different about Kentucky incentives and really about other cost-saving programs is that these incentives have a lot of compliance and there's a long-term relationship with the community to receive benefit from these programs. As a consultant, we work with you through that compliance phase. We're going to work with you through some of those early expansion activities with the local government. So we'll put you in touch with the building and permit, the local economic development officials, so that they can help smooth out that process as you move forward through this expansion. From a consultant standpoint, we're going to make sure that you get money back into your pocket from incentives. A lot of businesses ultimately end up receiving some sort of incentive package, but never realizing the benefit from that incentive package, either because your management's changed, your compliance person within your firm has changed. We, as an external third-party firm, really make sure that that money comes back to you and keep holding your hand throughout the process. Kentucky is a little bit antiquated in how they approach their compliance. There's a lot of phone calls that have to be made, a lot of checking in on where these projects are. There's not an online dashboard that makes it easy for businesses to check in. And fortunately, as consultants, we know how to manage that process and make it as easy as possible for the business.
Now, is Kentucky one of those states, I've heard this before, where you're almost playing different locations to push incentives up, or is most of it statutory and whatever they're going to give you, or is there some variability there?
I would not say that we're playing different locations against each other, but we certainly are playing different business scenarios against each other and what is going to receive the most value for the business. So we're going to look at how we talk about the project and what is important to the community and make sure we highlight those points of the project to make sure that we're giving you the most value for what you could potentially do for your expansion within that community. With that, there are certain things that are better suited for certain communities within Kentucky, and sometimes that does make a difference on whether or not a project is going to receive more value in one community over the other. Our role as consultants is to help you through that process so that you get the best fit for your business in whatever community you plan your expansion in.
Expand on that a little bit. So you're saying that there are certain things that might be better for a specific community? Are you meaning, so does that mean like a car manufacturing plant might be better in one part of the state versus something else?
You're going to find throughout the process that there are different pockets of labor throughout a state like Kentucky where you might have more manufacturing experience in the city of Louisville. You might have more plastics injection experience in E-Town. And there are going to be different labor pools that are going to fit better for certain businesses. But in addition to that, each community has decided that we want certain types of industry within our communities, and we're going to incentivize those differently from the local support level. In Kentucky, the other important note is that support has to start at the local community and then goes up to get state support. So your state support is based on whatever local support is going to be offered for the project.
So it might make a difference if, let's just say, I'm deciding to start a plastic injection molding facility. I should probably come ask you about where to put that before I even start shopping for land or anything else.
Absolutely. And we're more than equipped to walk you through that process of what labor looks like, what labor availability looks like, how far people are willing to drive to a plant. So if you're going to get some farm boys that know, you know, they want to work a certain hour range so they can get out in the field later that day, or you're going to have someone who has more, wants to work a later shift because they've had experience working with UPS in Louisville, we'll know that type of data for you as a business.
So does it have to be a completely new business? So let's say, or does it have to be an expansion? So for example, can I, my plastic injection molding company, if I already have one, can it be expansion of that, or does it have to be a new one, or does it make a difference at all?
Expansions, I think, are great projects that often don't come for incentives in Kentucky, and I think more business owners really need to look at how they can utilize incentives to take a project they've been contemplating off of the shelf and put it into practice. And we would love to talk to business owners about that because there's equivalent value in adding a product line as there is in putting a new expansion in Kentucky. These programs are designed to fit both scenarios, and really the, you know, new locations get a lot of press for the incentives they get, but expanding businesses also are bringing jobs to Kentucky and have a lot of value from these incentive programs.
Now, with new business, obviously we talk a lot here. I know I've talked to a couple of people on our R&D team. We've talked on the cost seg side. Those all require taxable income to make sense. With incentives, are we able to work with companies in a pre-revenue format before they start making income?
Absolutely. Kentucky has two different methods that you can recap your incentive value from the KBI program. You can either take it as a payroll wage withholding, or you can take it as a corporate income tax credit. Obviously, if you're not going to have corporate income tax in Kentucky, you want to look at a payroll wage withholding. We can walk with you as business and how to set those accounts up to match the compliance for the state of Kentucky. And those are certainly good opportunities. We see a lot of tech companies actually taking advantage of the payroll wage withholdings just because they're in these investment and growth phases that they're not actually incurring state income tax in some cases.
So really anybody that's growing can take advantage of it is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, is this something, when should a company be talking to you? So
As early as possible.
Well, so let's say on the, obviously you said it's investment or jobs based. Mm-hmm. So can I miss out on something if I've already started building my manufacturing facility, already started hiring? Is it too late to talk to you, or should I have been talking to you? Obviously you said early as possible. Should I have been talking to you earlier?
Right. Ideally, we would like to be in the planning phases for your project so that we can give you advice on what we think are the types of jobs that will really get incentive value within this community and the wage thresholds for those. We can also let you know as part of this planning process what the average wages in the community are for the types of jobs you're looking at hiring. So if you're new, if you're putting a new expansion in, you don't want to come in at $15 an hour if the prevailing wage is $16 an hour for the type of talent you want to attract. We can give you those types, that type of information early on as part of the planning process, so that when we go to incentives, you're coming in with a really strong project. There is a but for clause in Kentucky incentives, so but for these incentives, this project wouldn't move forward. So we need to make sure that projects are looking at incentives very early on in the process of planning these expansions, and that it's part of this overall comprehensive expansion planning period.
So with that but for provision, does that mean but for without this incentive, it wouldn't happen at all, or might not happen in that location, or how much flexibility do you have there?
So it really means that it's not going to happen within that particular order. So we often look at businesses that are looking at 3 or 4 expansions around the country. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind incentives is that you get this for your community before another community might get this expansion. So that's really what the but-for clause means, is that but for these incentives, it's the timeline may be 10 years out. It, you know, might go to another community before it comes for us. It allows communities to be competitive and actively engage in recruiting these expansions to their community.
Now, obviously, back to kind of where we stand with COVID and everything else, I'm not positive on Kentucky, and hopefully Kentucky doesn't have it, but I know some states are looking at potentially revenue drops in 2021 mm-hmm. primarily. Yeah. As 2020 incomes are lower, that's going to affect tax revenue, everything else.
Right.
Historically, have you seen states either increase incentives because they need those jobs, or will they decrease them because they don't actually have the funds to pay them out?
There are two, that's a two-part response to that question. The first part about that is the politicians really feel the need to decrease unemployment. So when unemployment numbers are high, they're going to want to announce new jobs to their community. So you see a local preference for encouraging incentives when unemployment numbers are high. The second part to that answer, the second part of that answer is that incentives look at forward growth, so you're not actually taking money from your current taxpayers. So if tax revenue is low in 2020, any incentive program that you give out in 2020 is not going to take money from the 2020 revenue. It's going to take money from the, it's going to add revenue and then also decrease revenue from the 2021 bucket, the 2022 bucket, because these programs are designed to grow your tax base and then to give businesses a reward for growing your tax base.
Okay. And are you seeing any, have they talked about any flexibility? Let's say in, we argued for incentives for somebody in 2019. Mm-hmm. And in 2020, they've slowed down their rate of expansion. Has the state given any knowledge as to whether or not they're going to give flexibility for people to get caught back up, or how that's going to affect
sure.
things moving forward?
And again, this is where a consultant would really help a business and mm-hmm. help them modify their projections with the state and to renegotiate some of those incentive packages. Kentucky is, the way that they're set up from their incentives, if you don't gain the value of your incentive in 1 year, you can carry it forward up to 10 years till your incentive package is complete. So theoretically, if I had a pause in 1 year and I wasn't meeting my wage targets or my employment targets for that year, I would want to look at if I was going to recap those growths in year 2 or 3 years ahead of that, and look at it over a 10-year period. So that's an option in Kentucky, but that's something that you really need a consultant to help you walk through and to negotiate with the state cabinet and to make sure that we're in compliance with the state cabinet.
Thank you. I mean, I don't want to spend too much more time. Obviously, we try to keep these relatively short, but is there anything else you'd like to let people know about Kentucky other than just they have to come and drink bourbon? And, but is there anything else about the Kentucky incentives that you want to make sure people are aware of?
Sure. The other interesting program that we have in Kentucky is our Small Business Tax Credit, which is available to companies that have less than 50 employees in the state of Kentucky and looks retroactively at your your growth in Kentucky. So that's a bit different than normal credits and incentives across the country. And oftentimes that's one that gets left on the table and that businesses forget about because they think that this one employee incremental growth really isn't worth something for them as a business. And that's something that we are working on increasing awareness of and making sure that we're helping businesses recap the value of.
And that one you said is retroactive?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one that even if they haven't thought about it in the past,
right.
you can help them go get it. So
yes.
if they've got 20 employees and have mm-hmm. been slowly adding them over the last 10 years, it would be good
it
to talk to
you. It looks back at 24 months. So we can look back, go do a look back period for 24 months for job growth.
Awesome.
For that program.
Wonderful. Well, I hope people learned as I did today. And thank you for joining us, Sierra.
Okay.
And I appreciate everybody logging on. If you have any questions about this or anything else related to our incentive practice, feel free to reach out to Sierra or anyone on that team, and they'll be happy to help you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuireOnTheWire@McGuireSponsel.com.